Amen. Thank you, Don. Praise the Lord. Good song. Good song. One of the things that I like about the holiday season, one thing I don't like is so many people leave, but one of the things I do like is so many come back. And it's good to have Brittany back with us. Good to see her. And there she is right back there. And then Charlie and Allison also here, and little Charlie. And if you haven't seen little Charlie yet, he is a cute one. I'll tell you, he's just happy, probably never cries. Anyway, and then we found out last week that Brian and Cheryl would be back with us. And immediately I talked to Brian and asked him if he'd like to preach. And he gave that preacher look like, oh, yeah, you, boy, I'm, well, wasn't quite like that. But he was a little bit nervous. But Brian, of course, came from Landmark Baptist Church in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and graduated from Hiles Anderson College last year. And he received a lot of good things from college, but I think the best thing he got from college was Cheryl. And she's just a real special young lady. And, of course, they will be married 1 year next month, June 25th, I believe it is. And so we're so proud of them and so happy for them. Brian's going to come preach to us. Listen carefully. Brian, you come.
All righty. Thank you. Get situated here. Really use one of these things but once, so hopefully it works. Anyway, grab your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23. When you're there, say amen. Or oh my, or whatever you say. I don't know. Anyway, go ahead. Verse 14, we'll go ahead and start reading 2 Samuel 23, verse 14. Says, and David was then in hold at the garrison of the Philistines, was then at Bethlehem. The Philistines were then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Tonight, I just want to talk. I'll be real short, and somebody say amen. We won't be long tonight, but I just want to talk about these three mighty men and what they meant to David. And the title of my sermon for tonight is Your Answer for Whatever. And we'll go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, for me to come, stand up, and preach. Lord, I pray you to bless the service tonight. Bless everything I say, Lord. Please be with the people. Soften their hearts for anyone who might need this. Lord, I know we all do. Lord, I pray you be with everything that's said and done tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Your answer for whatever. Have you ever stopped just for a minute, or maybe you're sitting on your porch or wherever you're at, and just kind of reminisced about maybe when you were younger, maybe a place you used to go, a place you used to like to visit, you know, maybe it's your favorite ice cream shop, or, you know, maybe it's your backyard you just like to play. You know, when you were a kid, you just thought about it. Or maybe you drove down the street and visited your old house where you used to live. And I know sometimes I think about that. When I was real young, probably 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, we used to go out to where on my grandpa's farm. When I was 11, my parents, we actually moved out there, so that's where they live now. But I remember going out there, and we'd play around. He had all kinds of animals and stuff. He had, you know, cows, and sometimes he'd ride the horses, and he had that mean old billy goat out in the back that tried to bite you if you went too close. And, he had all kinds of animals and everything out there. And I remember one time, my oldest sister, she wanted to reach over and pet one of the cows or one of the horses or something. And then my younger sister, dad's like, oh, check and see if the fence is on. So she just touched it real quick. And she's like, no, it's not on. So my older sister reached over and, you know, tried to pet the cow. And she ended up getting shot because the fence was on. She was mad at my other sister. And it was pretty funny. I laughed. Anyway, but, I just remember going out there. And I remember, you know, we'd go out there and my grandpa would have a garden. We'd go and we'd pick stuff out of the garden. And, you know, we'd pick beans or whatever. And that was always fun. And we'd do all that. And then he had a well up there. And it's still there. We still drink out of it every now and then. And it was really good. You know, some wells taste nasty. Well, this well, it was really good. Now, as a little kid, I'd be fascinated by the thing, the that you drop down in it. It wasn't really a bucket. It was more like a metal tube. You drop down in it, and you get the water out. And I'd fascinated. I'd look down in there. And it was always fun to me, you know, going out there and running around and getting water out of the well and drinking it. And as I read this story, I think of David. And he was from Bethlehem. That's where the town he was from. And I think about David, you know, and he was sitting up on the mountain. He'd been fighting the Philistines all day, you know, and he's up on the hill or whatever looking out from the cave, and he looks down and he says, man, you know, I remember when I was just a young kid, and, you know, Dad would come to town to do some business or whatever, you know, because he had all the flocks and everything, maybe to sell one of them, sell some of his herd there or whatnot. He's like, I remember, you know, that well down there. I remember running around, you know, and, you know, messing with my brothers and you know, getting into all kinds of trouble. And, you know, we'd have fun. And, you know, maybe while Dad was out doing business, we'd be, like, watching the sheep or whatever he was doing, you know. And because it was his hometown, you know, I'm sure he remembered it well. I remembered all the stories, you know, all the things he did as a kid and all the things he did growing up. And he's like, and I remember drinking out of that well. And I just remember that was such good water. Just like the well that I remember. He's looking down and he's like, man, that'd be some good water. I can see him kind of thinking out loud. You know, maybe he's not really talking for anyone else to hear him. Maybe he's just talking, you know, kind of to himself. He's just thinking, man, I'd really like to have a drink of that water, you know. Well, and his mighty men are standing there, you know, his three bodyguards, they're more his special forces guys than they were his bodyguards, because they're pretty bad dudes. And but he is sitting there, and the guys are like, hey, maybe we should go get something after David. I think he'd like that. And they say, well, I don't know, maybe. He's like, well, I think he'd really like that, you know. I mean, how many guys are down there? What, like 100 or something? We can take them. I mean, you killed 300 one time, didn't you? Well, yeah, all by yourself? Yeah. You killed 800, didn't you, all by yourself? Oh, yeah. You know, you killed like two lions and two lion-like men, the Bible says. I don't know what a lion-like man is. I guess the guy hasn't shaved in a really long time. But, you know, you killed two lion-like men, and he's like, oh, okay, well, you know, why not? Let's go get it. I think it'd make the king happy. Let's go do that. And so they went down, and they went down. Maybe they killed two or three guys, whatever they did, you know, and then they got the water out of the well, and they brought it back up to David. And David's just like, man, he's like, you guys did that for me? And they're like, yeah, you know, it was nothing. You know, there's only like 20 guys down there. You know, what's up? And so, you know, they brought him back, and he's like, man, he's like, yeah, you guys didn't have to do that. He's like, well, we did. You know, you didn't have to. He's like, well, you know, guys, you guys put your life in danger for me. You know, I'm not worthy to drink this water. And, you know, they said, well, no, it's fine. And David's mighty men, you know, the Bible says, like I said, they're really bad dudes. So look down here in verse 21. It's talking about one of them. It says, and he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down with his staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. That he killed him with his own spear. That reminds me of a story. I knew a guy in college, and he's just one of those guys. He's always doing something dumb. But I heard the story from someone else. He said he was driving down the road, and for some reason, you know, he got a concealed carry permit, so he had a gun with him. And some guy cut him off, and he got mad. You know, I guess words were exchanged. Anyway, they pulled over, and the guy's like, oh, he comes back to his car, you know, the guy in his car, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? Well, I guess this guy, being the idiot that he was, he kind of pulls out his gun and kind of shows to him, oh, I got a gun. Well, the guy took it from him, dropped the clip out of it, hit him over the nose with it, and took his gun and walked off. So, you know, that's kind of what that story reminds me of. He took the Egyptian spear and killed him with his own spear. He just walked up, you know, the Egyptian's like, I got a spear, and all you got is a stick. Well, okay, I'll kill you with your own spear. How's that sound? But these guys, they were bad dudes, and they took care of David, you know. Anything that David needed, anything they thought David might need, they took care of it for him. And, you know, and this is the kind of guys they were. They're the kind of guys that they weren't worried about their own well-being. They weren't worried about, you know, is the king going to give us, you know, a bonus this year because, you know, we went out and did something cool for the king. They weren't worried about, you know, maybe the king will, you know, give us praise. You know, maybe he'll give us, like, a nice place to live, or, you know, maybe he'll give us, you know, a pretty wife or something, you know, how they did back in those days. Maybe the king will give us that. But no, these guys weren't worried about that. They're just worried about what can we do to make the king happy? What can we do to make sure that the king's needs are taken care of? What can we do to make sure that the king's wants are met? Well, you know, maybe he wants something, you know, that's not bad. Maybe we can go get it for him. And this is the kind of men that David's mighty men were, these three mighty men. And I just want to, tonight, just take and look at three things. What does the king brag on? What does he look at? And what makes the king happy? Okay, the first thing we find out and from these mighty men, like I said, is they weren't worried about their own needs. They found out what made the king happy, but they also found out what made God happy. And that's what we should do in our own lives. Find out what makes God happy. You know, the Bible's filled of things that we can do to make God happy. And so often, you know, we pick up the Bible, we read it every day. You know, you read a chapter every day, but we don't really look at it. You look at it to get the commandments. What does God say for us to do? You know, maybe what does God want us to do? But so often we look at it, and we look at God as somebody who's like, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do this all the time. You know, if you don't do this, you know, I'll be mad. And so we don't look at it and say, you know, what can we do to make God happy? Is it not just follow his commandments, but do stuff that makes him happy? You know, each and every day in our own lives, we have to find what makes God happy. And that's your answer for whatever it is in life. Find out what makes God happy. And I'm going to give you my second point. Find out what makes those around you happy. Now, this is what I mean, your answer for whatever. So often, you know, in life, we're looking for what makes us happy. You know, what makes us happy, you know, is it going out and getting a new car? Is it going out and getting something to eat? You know, what makes us happy? So often we're so focused on ourselves, you know, we don't look at others. We don't look around to see what could make someone else happy. You know, it's all about me. It's all about me. You know, fellas, look at your wives someday. Find out, you know, what is it that makes her happy, you know? Is she happy if you do the dishes, you know, just one day? Is she happy if, you know, you fold the laundry for her? You know, I mean... Is she happy? What makes her happy? Is she happy if you bring home chocolates? You know, what makes her happy, you know? Maybe just taking her out for taking a walk. Maybe that makes her happy. And, you know, it's easy. The way to be happy in your own life is to live a life for others. Live a life to make others happy. You know, so often, you know, we just live our own selfish lives just to make ourselves happy. We don't look at the needs around us. We don't look at the needs around us. And, you know, all you wives out there are like, yeah, get them. You know, but, you know... Same thing goes for you. You know, what makes your husband happy? Is it a clean house when he gets home? Maybe, what is it? You know, it's so often we don't look, like I said. And kids too, you know, what makes your mom and dad happy? You know, is it keeping your room clean? Is it helping your mom? Find something that makes it happy. Your parents know more than you do, or you ever will, well, hopefully. And, you know, your parents know. And I remember I heard a story one time of a guy, and he was probably my age, maybe a little younger. And this was back, he had a car, and he was driving down the road. And I think it was here in Michigan that it happened. He was driving down the road, and his car started having problems, so he pulled over the side of the road, and it broke down, he was looking at it, and he couldn't figure out what was wrong with it, and he was frustrated, you know. He's looking at the car, you know, I don't know what it is, you know, I can't figure it out. He was mad, you know, kicking stuff, kicking his tires. Well, an old guy pulled up alongside him, pulled up side of the road, and the old guy got out. He said, you know, son, what's the problem? You know, he's like, well, it's my car. He's like, well, I might be able to help you. He's like, what are you going to do? You know, he was frustrated, so, you know, he was mad. He's like, what are you going to do, you know, old man? You can't even help me fix my car, you know? You can't do anything. I need somebody who can help me. I need somebody who can fix my car. So he's like, oh, okay, so, well, the old man's like, well, I think I might be able to help you. He's like, you can't help me. Just maybe send somebody my way. Maybe somebody help me. So the old man's just like, well, okay. And then Henry Ford walked to his car and drove off. So, and that's, you know, so often we don't, you know, as young people, we don't realize, you know, your parents might know a little bit more than you do. That older person might know a little more than you do. Maybe you can do something to make them happy. Maybe you can find something that brings joy into their life. Maybe you can bring something they can help you. Maybe down the road, they'll be the one helping you. Maybe down the road, they'll be the one, you know, doing something to help you out when it's down the road. And, you know, maybe you don't know. And they can help you right now. Just ask them, what makes us happy? You know, I think about David's mighty men, and, you know, they're always serving the king. They're always fighting his battles. But, you know, they could have got distracted by that. They could have thought to themselves, you know, I've been fighting all day. I've been beating these Philistines up all day. I'm tired. I don't have to do anything else. I'm sure the king would be just fine if I just went, sat down under a shade tree, you know, got a banana, got something to eat, got whatever it is they have over there. And they sit down and just said, you know, I'm just going to chill until tomorrow morning, take a nap, sleep. But no, They stopped. They said, what does the king want? They weren't thinking about themselves. Like I said, many times in our own life, it's just all about us. It's all about what can we get? Can we get more stuff? Will that make us happy? Well, can we get, you know, more money? Will that make us happy? You know, money makes you happy just for a little bit, though. It doesn't really bring joy. What can make others happy? That's your answer for whatever it is in life. Whatever it is, that's the questions you have. What can you have? Help others. Make them happy. Next thing the king brags on, next thing the king looks at, is he looks at those who make others better around them. You know, so often, you know, they always say in college, you know, what can you do? What can you do to make somebody better? You know, when you get married, find somebody who's going to make you better. Find a girl who's going to make you better. Find a guy who's going to make you better. They say that. They tell you that. We heard that. And, you know, it's true. And in sports, there's good athletes and there's great athletes. You have good ones. You know, everybody who plays professional sports, there's no doubt they're a good athlete. And you watch them play. You see them play. There's no doubt. Everybody who's out on that court is a really good athlete. If they weren't really good, they wouldn't be playing on that level. But there's a difference. There's a difference between the good ones and the great ones. There's a difference between the ones who are just, you know, who are Hall of Famers and ones who are just, you know, he's the guy who sits on the bench. The difference is they make those around them better. The great ones make those around them better. Excuse me. And you think about it. So often people say, you know, Michael Jordan was the greatest basketball player to ever play the game. And, you know, people debate about that. No, it was Larry Bird. No, it was John Stockton. Oh, well, okay. Anyway, they say Michael Jordan was the greatest basketball player to ever play the game. And why was he so good, you know? Why was he so good? Sure, he can score points. You know, he could dunk the ball. He could, you know, do whatever. But he had the one thing that a lot of good players in his day didn't have. He had the ability to make everybody on his team better. He made everybody who played ball with him a little better. You know, sure, the guys who played with him are good. You know, they were in the NBA. Sure, maybe they were, you know, All-Americans in college. Sure, maybe they were, you know, they were really good athletes and won, you know, awards and stuff in college. But he had the ability to make the players on his team better. And that's, you know, we see the difference between good athletes and great athletes there. He made those on his team better. And so often, that's the difference between a good Christian and a great Christian. Good Christians live their lives. They can do everything that the Bible says. They can follow the word just like anybody else. They can go to work and work hard and come home and you know, have no influence on anybody. But the difference between being a good Christian and a great Christian is, do you make those around you better? Do you make the people in your life better? Do you find a way to make somebody else's life a little easier? Do you find a way to make, you know, your husband, your wife, your kids, you know, kids, do you make your mom, your dad, the people in your life, your school, the principal, you know, a lot of you just got out of school. You know, what are you going to do this summer? Are you going to make somebody's life better? Or are you going to live for yourself? What are you going to do until school starts this year? Are you just going to, you know, sleep in every day and do whatever you want? Or are you going to do something that lasts, you know, something that can make somebody's life better, something that can make your life better, something that can make, you know, others' lives better? Like I said, so often we just live for ourselves, and that's all there is to it. Like I said, if you looking at David's mighty men again, David's mighty men were trying to make their leader's life better. They were looking at David, saying, what can we do to serve? What can we do to help? What can we do to make his life a little easier? At the end of the day, think about it. If they're making David's life easier, in turn, it's going to make their life a little easier. The same way, it works the same way with everyone, regardless age, you know, male, female, husband, wife, big or small. If you make somebody else's life is better, at the end of the day, your life is going to be better. It doesn't matter. It works that way. It worked that way, you know, 2,000-3,000 years ago, back when David was king. It works that way today. Can you make someone else's life better? And I get to my next point. What is it that drives you to live for God? Now, these men were, no doubt, they were driven men. No doubt they had drive in them. No doubt they were out to make the king's life better. No doubt. What is it that drives you to live for God? Now, so often we get in our rut, we go to school every day, we go to church every day, we go to work every day, and we have no passion, we have no drive for God. We just do what we do because that's why we do what we do. What is it? Why is it you do what you do? Why is it you come to church? Why is it you go out, why is it maybe you work on a bus route, why do you run that bus route? Or maybe, you go to school or whatever you do. Why do you do what you do? Why is it that we do what we do? Why is it that we live a Christian life? Why is it that we try to be better? You know, why? Well, there's rewards God has for each one of us. Now, it's not necessarily, we may not get it now, but in heaven. You always hear, oh, we'll get your rewards in heaven. But at the end of the day, it makes someone else's life better. At the end of the day, it encourages someone else, What better joy can you have than to keep someone out of hell? Maybe you work with someone. Maybe you think, man, I should talk to them. Maybe I should say something to them. The way they talk, the way they act. I know they're not going to hell. I know they're not saved. Why is it? What would the question so often back? Is real popular. What would Jesus do? If Jesus was working your job, if Jesus was doing what you do, going to your school, what would he do? And you think about it. What would Christ have us do? Would he have us ignore it and be like, well, yeah, I go to church, yeah, it's okay, man, I don't care, I don't care if you cuss, I don't care if you, do whatever around me, it's cool. But no, what would Christ do? Would he be a witness? You don't have to stand up and start preaching at him at work or anything, because that, your boss probably wouldn't be happy with that if you're at work and you're preaching at him. But, maybe after work you just say, hey, this is why I'm a Christian. This is why I do what I do. And, at the end of the day, you're making someone else's life better, If that guy, he's probably going to make your life easier. I have a guy that I work with, and he's just, he's one of those people that are hard to get along with, They're always right. You're never right. Who's always right. And you think, man, this guy, he gets on my nerves. And, but there has to come a time, in my own life. It's not easy. It's not easy to say, hey, I'm a Christian. That's why, I try to do this. That's why I try to do that. It's not easy. And it's not going to be easy. God didn't say it was going to be easy. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. If it was easy, And that's why Christ commands us. And at the end of the day, it's going to make your life a little better. Think about it. Think if I had that guy at work who, he's always getting on my nerves. What if he were to get saved? What if he were to start coming to church? What if he would start living for God? What if he, quit his drinking and quit going to his bars because, he was always telling about how he goes out and gets drunk all the time? What if he were to get saved and start coming to church? That would make my life easier too. So it's the same. God said it works. It works. If you can help improve someone else's life, your life can be better too. And that's why we do what we do. If you can get somebody saved and out of hell, your life will be better too. And God promised it in His Word. His words wouldn't return void. If you tell someone what it is that God wants them to do, and they accept it, it can make your life better too. Like I said, so often we live in our own world, our own shell of just this is what I want to do, this is what I should do, this is what I think I should be doing, but I don't care what God has to say. And you may not actually say that, but in your heart of hearts, by not doing it, you're saying that. So, what is it? I challenge everyone tonight. Find something that you can make better. Someone you can make better. Find something in your life that you can change. If you want something to change, if you want someone to change, be the change that you want them to be. Maybe, if you think someone should, change their ways, maybe you should change yours and be what God wants you to be around them. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't even know you're a Christian. Maybe they don't want to see you're a Christian. God wants us to be an example to those around us, no matter where it is, and to help those around us. Change what needs to be changed by changing it yourself. Like I said, if you want If you want to change your, you know, marriage, maybe it's, you know, not been so great. You know, I've only been married for a year, so, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm not super experienced. But, you know, if I found, you know, I found out one thing. If, you know, if we're having an argument or whatever, and, you know, we're fussing each other, maybe I should change. You know, it may not be anything that's right or wrong. You know, if it's something that's right or wrong, sure, you know, I'm not going to, you know, change something to do wrong. But maybe you're the one who's in the wrong. Maybe you're the one who changed. Maybe you should change your attitude. You know, if two people are constantly going back and forth, you're never going to stop. It's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. One person has to stop and say, you know what? I want change. I want to be better. I want things to be good. And at the end of the day, you know, you're going to be happier too, you know? That's what I found out, you know? If your wife's happy, you're happy, you know? If your husband's happy, you'll be happy. It's the same way. You know, kids, parents, you know, if your parents are happy with what you're doing, at the end of the day, you'll be happy because they're not getting on to you. They're not telling you, what, you know, you should be doing this. If, you know, if you're doing what you should be doing, your life will be easier. That's the way it works, folks. And no matter what in your life, you know, if you want to change, be the change that you should be. And I challenge you tonight, just find something that you can change, find something that you can do to make someone's life better, and I promise you, you won't be unhappy about it. I promise you, you won't be sad about it. It'll make your life that much better. It'll make your work that much better. It'll make your home that much better. It'll make school that much better. No matter what it is, find something that you can change and change it. Find something you can do and do it. Let's go ahead and pray. And dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the people who came out, Lord. Thank you for Memorial Day and what that means. Lord, I pray someone would take this home tonight and use it in their lives, Lord. I pray if someone's unsaved, Lord, I pray that this would be the time they come to know you. And Lord, just help us tonight. Give us a good week. You know, help us to change someone's life. Help us to help someone's life. Help us to be what you think we should be and be an example to those around us, Lord.